Sunshine, Lord, for having a building to come to, Lord, having air conditioning. Lord, we're thankful for brothers and sisters in Christ that we get to spend time with throughout our week, Lord, just to fellowship, to love on each other, to pray for each other, to pray with each other. Lord, I'm just so thankful for godly friends. Lord, I pray that you be with this service tonight, Lord. We're not just here just to be with friends, Lord. We're here to meet with you. Amen. Lord, I pray that you'd be in this service. Lord, your spirit would go before us. Lord, that you'd speak through pastors, he preaches. Lord, I pray you'd prick our hearts, Lord. Convict us, Lord. Draw us nearer to you. Lord, help us to leave here with something to ponder throughout the week, Lord, that we can just study out, Lord, and just spend time with you. Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for loving us. Lord, we thank you so much for saving us. Lord, we just give you all the glory. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Y'all may be seated. So just some quick announcements real quick. Lord willing, hopefully if the rain holds off and there's no thunderstorms or lightning, we're going to try to do those sign holdings tomorrow 6 to 7 over there on Front and Pine Street. And then Lord willing, this Sunday morning for the Sunday morning service, Brother Pinto will be in evangelist, missionary. He'll be with us Sunday morning, so we're willing, if everything goes well with him and he can get up here, he'll be with us Sunday. Don't have anything else as far as announcements go, but let's see. Before we go forward, just continue to pray for Brother Joe and Sister Cole, Chris Cole. You know, I was over there yesterday with them, and pray for them. It's pretty heavy on them with what's going on with their son Derek and his diagnosis with Lou Gehrig's disease, and you know, his muscles are already starting to spasm some. He's losing strength, and they said, Pastor, if you would see him, you wouldn't even know the young man sick because of how he looks. Because I guess he lifts weights. But they said one of the things that showed that something was wrong was he was able to curl a certain amount of weight. But then his left arm all of a sudden was getting weaker and weaker, and he couldn't figure out, why can't I do what I used to be able to do with my left arm? And that was one of the things that brought on him going to get diagnosed there with ALS. So continue to pray for them. Pray for Derek. Pray for his three children. He's got two boys and a little girl. Pray for them. Pray for his wife. That God would just help through this time and just give them the strength and comfort that only he can give. There's really not much words you can say to somebody that's going through something like that.
Right.
Other than we're praying for you, we're here for you. If you need somebody just to talk to, we're here. So just continue to lift them up to the throne of God. I was able to see Brother Les today. I think he's watching now with Sister Nancy. He seemed to be doing pretty good spirits today. So continue to pray for him and Miss Nancy and what they're going through with his cancer. There's a lot going on, just a lot going on. But I think that, you know, the enemy's pouring it on, and there's a lot of stuff going on in our country. It seems like every day something else is going on. But you know what? I'm thankful this morning for the country that I do live in. I try to keep up some. I try to keep up what's going on down in Haiti, just because I have a heart for down there, Haiti and Dominican Republic. Well, their president just got assassinated last night. I knew that was coming because they got a mess. That place down there is a mess, just a mess. But that's what happens when you reject God and you choose to say as a nation that Satan is our God.
Yeah.
As a nation, they said that Satan's their god. And it's complete chaos down there right now. So I'm glad that I live here, in this country here. So just keep those situations in prayer. Let's sing another song here, page number 423. Page 423. Our only hope is Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Amen. The solid rock, page 423. Built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. His lovely face, I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. His oath, His covenant, His blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, He then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. When He shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in Him be found, dressed in His righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. Amen. Thank you, Ms. Donna. Amen. 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 You make any prayer requests before we go forward this evening? Anything anybody wants brought up in prayer? Nothing? Good? It's all good? Right. All right, well, so we'll continue on in our study here of 2 Peter. Chapter number 1, finishing hopefully this evening, the last three verses there in 2 Peter chapter number 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. We'll look again at verse number 19 through 21. All right. So the Bible says here in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19, it says, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scriptures of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you again for this evening. I thank you for the safety to get to church tonight, Lord. I thank you for your word. I thank you for the brethren. I thank you for salvation through Jesus Christ, my solid rock on whom I can stand, dear God, no matter what storms I may face. Lord, you're with me, and I thank you for it. And Lord, I pray you just open your word to us this evening. Lead, God, and direct, God. Open our eyes, open our ears, open our hearts to receive what you have for us this evening. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. So the latter part here, I know I've been spending a lot of time on verse number 19, but there's a lot in verse number 19. He says, "We have also a more sure word word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. You see, like I was saying here right before we got started into preaching here, it seems like it's getting darker and darker. But one thing we can know is that Christ is coming back soon. Now listen, the soon might be 10 years, but if one day is 1,000 years in the sight of God, and 1,000 years is one day, then 10 years is absolutely nothing to God, right? Just think, within the next 10 years Christ were to come back, that's pretty quick. That doesn't give us a lot of time to be about our Father's business, but it's also encouraging if it was just in 10 years. But I believe that it is soon. It's, to me, if it's not going to be soon, then the United States is going to be a pagan nation here very quick, if not already. We're in a bad spot. But the Bible says here, Peter says, in the latter part of verse 9, he says, unto a light that shineth in a dark place until. So we're to take heed unto that light that shineth in a dark place until that day dawn and the day star arise in our hearts. Now, take your Bible and look over at Romans chapter number 13 and verse number 10. Romans 13 and verse number 10. Romans 13, 10. I believe the new day is about to appear. I think we're in the latter parts of the night. I think that day dawning and a day star or the arising in your hearts, as we're going to look at it here, I believe it can picture also the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, not only salvation, but the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe it's pretty soon. Romans chapter 13, look at verse number 10. Paul says, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. And then look what he says next. He says, and that knowing the time, that now is high time to wake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. So if Paul is writing to the Romans 2,000 years ago, and he's telling them, he says, listen, knowing the time, that now is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Where are we at today? I think we're in the final seconds. It's ticking down before the Lord appears there in the sky to catch us away. Now is high time to wake out of sleep, for our salvation is nearer than when we believe. Look what he says in verse 12. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. What did Peter say? He says, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn. Peter and Paul are kind of saying the same things here. Paul's telling the Romans, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore, because the night is far spent and the day is about to appear, he says, therefore, cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Now I'm going to show you this evening. Listen, as Peter was talking about how you can be blind and how you can forget how you were purged from your old sins and how you can be barren and unfruitful in the knowledge of Jesus Christ our Lord, Paul is inferring here that in verse 12, let us put on the armor of light. That means I'm not very smart, but when he says put on, that means you got to pick it up and you got to put it on. And if you don't put it on, chances are you're going to dwell in darkness. And there's a chance you're going to stumble and fall because you're not doing what you need to be doing as a Christian. Paul tells the brethren there at Rome, he says, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Look what he says in verse 13, let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. But look what he says again. But put ye on what? Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Put off, cast off darkness, put on the armor of light, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? So you don't make provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. A Christian can still make provisions for their flesh. You can still put yourself in a position to where you're feeding your flesh and not your spirit, which is going to cause you to walk in darkness. Now, you're not going to lose your salvation. You're still saved. But you're not walking in the light of God's word and direction and guidance. You're walking by your flesh. And look how quick, how quick the flesh wants to gratify itself. Very quick. It doesn't take long. It wouldn't take a moment for that flesh to rear its ugly head and start wanting to do its own thing in your life. Paul says here, he says, listen, the night is far spent, the day's at hand. Now is the time to focus on our Lord Jesus Christ because his coming is nearer than when we believed. Again, where are we at today? How ought our walk to be today in the day and hour we're living in and being prepared and ready for the appearing of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ? Cast off the works of darkness. Look over at 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4 and verse number 13. 1 Thessalonians 4 verse 13. Well, look at chapter number 5 verse 4. He just gets done talking to them there in chapter 4 about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, how we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be all caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. But I'm going to pick up for sake of time in chapter 5 and verse 4. Look what Paul tells the church there. He says, but ye brethren are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of what? Of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, because of what he said in verses 4 and 5, therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Paul is telling the church at Thessalonica saying, listen, you need to watch and you need to be sober. Now's not the time to get drunk with the pleasures of this world. I'm not talking about alcohol now. I'm not talking about alcohol, but we can get drunken with the pleasures of this world and what it has to offer. And Paul's saying, listen, he's telling the church, he's saying, brethren, listen, you're children of the light, you're children of the day, you're not in the night nor of darkness, therefore let us not sleep as do others, which implies to me that a Christian can fall asleep. A Christian can fall asleep in his walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul says, don't do that. Don't be one that you're getting overtaken as of a thief breaking into a house. Paul says, be sober, be awake, be ready for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 8. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on what? Putting on the breastplate of faith and of love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. Go back through these verses and see what Paul consistently tells the brethren to put on. We need to put these things on daily. I've said this before. I try to literally pray and put on the armor of God. Sometimes I even go through the motions. Helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness, shield of faith, sword of spirit, loins girded about with truth, feet shod with the preparation of gospel peace. Put on the breastplate of faith and of love. Lord, help me to put these things on and go forward as a children of the day, as a child of the day and of the light, and not be sleeping and falling into darkness. Look at 1 John chapter 2, verse 8. Now this is going to cross-reference back over to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 9. We're going to put them together, this thought. Look at 1 John 2, 8. Again, it's this thought of light and darkness. Take heed to that light until the day dawn, the day star arise in your heart. Look at 1 John 2, look at verse number 8. Look what John tells the brethren there. He says, and again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light, and hateth his brother, is in darkness even until now. And he that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of what? Look what it says, of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because the darkness hath what? Blinded his eyes. Listen, brethren, there's an opportunity for a Christian to lose their spiritual eyesight, because they're making provisions for the flesh and not for the spirit. Here again, we find this principle by Paul, by Peter, and now by John about this blindness that can happen to, I believe, a believer. I don't think this is a lost individual. I think it's a Christian. I think a Christian can fall into some seriously bad sins. I believe that. I believe a Christian can get so far back on God that at one moment he can find himself doing something he thought he would never get himself into. Because you still have the flesh. You still have your flesh you got to contend with and deal with and bring into subjection and not make provisions for it. Because the night is far spent and the day is at hand. I want to encourage us this evening to ask God to help us. Say, Lord, help me to not make provision for my flesh to where I'm not walking around in darkness with blinded eyes. Because take that verse there in 1 John chapter 2, verse 11, and you can flip it over to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 9. 1 Peter chapter number 1 and verse number 9. 1 Peter 1, 9. No, 2 Peter 1, 9. Because that doesn't match up. There we go. I paraphrased it earlier, but look what it says in the first part of 2 Peter again. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. What are those things again? All is found in chapter 1 up to verse number 8. Now look, I was talking to a preacher this week. He went down and helped in a meeting down in Florida. And he said he was just absolutely grieved with the church he was in. This is an independent Baptist church. Supposedly a good church down there in Florida. And he said some of the brethren in there think it's just fine. Some of those independent Baptists down there think it's just fine that after you go to church that it's all right to go to the bar afterwards. And my pastor, He said, Chris, I'm not getting this. He's like, I can't understand the condition that our churches are getting into, good churches, to where you can think it's all right in your mind to go to church Sunday morning or Wednesday, and then afterwards, hey, let me meet you up over at the bar. And you say, well, are they lost? I don't know, but I knew what the Bible says here in 1 Peter and Romans and what we read in Thessalonians, that you can be blinded. You can forget you were purged from your old sins. You can be barren and unfruitful in the work of God. That's why it's so important, I think, to keep your eyes set on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why, again, I said on Sunday, I'll say it again. If you can be in church, you need to be in church. Brethren, I'm not saying it for me. Look, as a pastor, I come in here. If there's only two people sitting in here, if it's just my wife and my daughter, we're going to do a Bible study and then we'll leave on out. So it's not a matter of numbers, it's a matter of need. You understand? It's not a matter of numbers. I'm not looking for numbers. It's a matter that we need one another. We need church. Not because of the preacher, not because of the piano player, but because we come together. Ultimately, the reason we're in church this evening is number one, to worship God. He's worthy to receive worship, praise, glory, adoration, all to the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Second, you come to church for one another. What you can give to one another because we all need one another. We're all connected because, brethren, listen, we're all part of the body. Hear me now on this. We're all, if you're saved, if you claim to be saved this evening, you are part of a body. What part do you represent? I don't know. But you do represent one part of the body. Can you imagine coming to church this evening and your arm says, not going tonight. Sorry. I got something I got to take care of that's more important. I'm not coming. Oh, and the leg says, oh, you let the arm off tonight. I'm not coming either. Brethren, this represents the church. That's good. Brother Brian, I appreciate you coming out tonight. I appreciate it. That man's tired. I know what it's like, Brother Ralph. You men, you go out there and you work all day. You sweat. You're tired. Especially this time of year, just it's hot. You get some food in you and you want to go immediately to sleep. Right? I worked at the post office for 5-6 years down there in Charleston, sitting in that little oven box for 12 hours a day like it's cooking you. You don't want to go to church after that. You're working in a hot warehouse. You don't want to go. Your flesh, listen, now we can act all spiritual and pious like, yes, I would go to church every time because I'm such a great Christian. Stop. Get away from me. I can't handle it. If you're real, at some point in your life, you're going to be like, I don't want to go to church because I'm tired. Just be honest. Because there's times I don't want to come to church because I'm tired. And I'm wore out. But you're the pastor. Yeah, but guess what? I still got flesh. Right? But I don't know about you, but it helps me when I get here to see your faces, at least some of your faces. No, I'm joking. I'm not going to say names. But we need one another. Because you represent a part of the body. And if you're not in church, that part of the body's not here, whatever part it represents. But pastor, I got this to take care of. Okay, well then, that you might be the ear and you're not here. It's something seriously to think about. That is not in my notes. I think God wanted to get that across. Because I ain't never thought about that like that, but in that kind of context. That if some people that are here, part of Ray Street Baptist Church, that are members and part of this body, that aren't here. Now, I understand if you got a health issue. I get that. I get if you're sick or there's a situation, I understand it. But if you can be, or if you're putting something else above church instead of church, now you're running into situations and problems. Do you understand? Now, I'm not going to be mean tonight, but I'm going to be honest. Family does not trump church. And it ain't Pastor Welton now. You're trumping who? Not me. Just saying. I'm just saying. Now, if your kid's sick and you got to stay home, I understand that. I get that. But I think you know what I'm talking about. Well, I got this over here with the... What emphasis is that showing your family of what you're putting the emphasis on? Some things to think about this evening. Brethren, as a preacher, I sit at home sometimes and my stomach gets sick and I said, Lord, help me. But the more and more I read this book, the more and more I try to spend time with God and just think and meditate on things. Brethren, it's too late in the game for me to get up here and play games. It's too late in the game for me not to get up here and say what I think God's put on my heart to say, listen, what do we put the emphasis on? The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let's not make provisions for the flesh and the lust thereof. Let us be that light that's bright and shining in this lost and dark, dying world. What? Look, God knows what we put the emphasis on. You don't have to be worried about me. If I were to drop dead right now and you were to drop dead right now, listen, I'm not going to stand before you and you're not going to stand before me. I am not your judge. I'm not your judge. There's one over there that's going to judge us someday. And I want to make sure as a pastor with the members of this church that we're like we ought to be, is to the best of our ability, what we need to be when we cross over to that other side, when we stand before Jesus Christ someday and give an account of how we lived for him after we've been saved. It's not going to cut it to say, well, I had this going on, Lord. And the Lord say, okay, all right, I understand now. Brethren, you don't understand how much we need one another. And how the devil will get in and try to split things wide open in your mind first. You cannot stay by yourself. You cannot drift off by yourself. You have to have the brethren. You must be in church. You got to be around. Not for the preacher, not for numbers, but because of Jesus Christ. Now let me just say this. What if I were to say next Wednesday night, and I don't mean this blasphemously, I mean this seriously. If Jesus Christ were to be here next Wednesday night, would you think everybody would make an opportunity and an effort to try to be in church? At least I would hope. Why not tonight? That's why I'm here. I'm here for Jesus. You know why I'm here for Jesus? Because I love him. I want to love him with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's why I'm in church tonight, because I love him. And by me loving him, I then love you. So if I love him and I love you, then I want to spend time with you. Because all of us are in him and he's in us. Do you see the importance of it? Do you see the importance of it? We need one another. Especially as these days get darker and darker. He hath forgotten. Peter says in verse 9, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten. What has he forgotten? He's forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Take your Bible and look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 4. Can you imagine going to a meeting where the preacher preaches all night? I mean, that's Bible. Paul preached all night. Somebody fell out of the window. They think he's dead. Paul goes down there, revives him. Everything keeps going. And he gets up and keeps preaching. You see, our flesh don't like it, but the Spirit ought to. The Spirit ought to. Flesh don't like it, but the Spirit ought to. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 4. Or verse 3. 2 Corinthians 4, 3. Look what the Bible says here. But if our gospel be hid, which means our gospel could be hid. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Look at verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath where? Has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of who? Jesus Christ. Cross-reference that now with Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. Peter said, the day star arise in your hearts. We just read in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 6, command a light to shine out of darkness, have shine in our hearts. So you see, arise in your heart. Corinthians, you see, hath shined in our hearts. Look at Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 17. Ephesians 1, verse number 17. The God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Look what he says in verse 18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Your eyes being enlightened. Arise in your hearts, a day star arising in your hearts. Corinthians says, have shined in our hearts. Here, Ephesians talks about our eyes being enlightened. Look over at chapter 5, Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 8. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. A bunch of verses in the New Testament dealing with light and darkness, light and darkness, light and darkness. Ephesians 5, verse 8. Look what it says here. Well, yeah, verse 8. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Here you see again this principle of light and darkness. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. And then Paul tells the brethren there at Ephesus, he says, then walk as children of light. Why is it so important to walk as children of light? Verse number 10, so you can prove what is acceptable unto the Lord. You say, preacher, how do I know if something's acceptable with God? Well, are you walking in the light? You say, well, how do I know if God approves of this or God doesn't approve of this? Walk in the light. You say, well, what's the light? The light is the word of God, and a light is meditation, and a light is prayer. And I believe also light is church. Look, you might not get light. Look, you might just come to church. I don't know if this has ever happened to you before. I think I've even had this happen with a lost person sometime. But I don't know if you've ever come to church before, but somebody just says something, or a stanza in a hymn just jumps out at you, and it gives you some help you're looking for. I don't know how many times I've gone to preach somewhere sometime. Even at the old church I was at, times I preach and the song leader picks a song, and there's a stanza in that song is exactly what God laid on your heart to preach. And you're just, whoa. So the light that you might get some light from truth contained in a hymnal. A song might get sung, and it might, the Holy Spirit might use that thing to speak to your heart. Speaking to yourselves in what? Psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. That's light. Anything that's truth that lines up with Scripture is light that it can encourage you and help you and prove what is that good and acceptable will of God for your life. But if you lack those things, you're going to continue to wander over into the shadows. And if you don't catch it quick, you might eventually find yourself to where you're walking in darkness and you're stumbling over everything in your Christian walk. Why? Because you're walking in darkness. You say, preacher, why do I keep struggling with these things? Preacher, why do these things keep in my head? What are you walking in? Are you walking more in the flesh, or are you walking more in the spirit? Are you walking more in darkness, or are you trying to spend as much time as you possibly can in the light that God's providing for you? These things are important. These things are very important. Lastly, I want to look at this thing here this evening about, look back over at 2 Peter chapter 1 and the last part here, verse 19. I might be able to cover two more things here. It says, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well, that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until what? The day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. This can also be a picture of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. I don't know what it's going to be like, but I'm pretty sure it's going to be pretty magnificent. I'm pretty sure then it's going to be like something we have never seen or experienced before in our life when we see Jesus Christ. I'm pretty sure that the rapture of the Lord, the rapture occurs and the Lord Jesus Christ comes in those clouds and he calls us up to meet him in the air. That is going to be like something we have never experienced before in our life. And I can't imagine how bright it's going to be. Take your Bible, look over at Revelation chapter number 19. Revelation chapter 19 and verse number 11. These are some of the most awe-inspiring portions of Scripture that I could ever read out of this Bible. Revelation chapter 19 and look at verse number 11. You want to talk about the day star arising in your heart? You want to talk about, you know, the day dawning and the day star rising? Look at Revelation 19 verse 11. Look what John says. And I saw heaven opened. Right there would make me want to fall down and start crawling. If you're looking up, you see all of a sudden, and it's going to happen. This is going to happen. All of a sudden, those on this earth at some point at the end of the tribulation, when it says it's time, get back down there to the sun. And those down here on this planet look up and they see heaven open. Now listen here. You don't tell me that the devil knows some things. Now look, I don't watch some of these movies, but when I was in a juvenile center, I saw some of the movies like the Marvel Comics puts out, the Avengers and stuff like that. You ought not to be watching if you're saved. I saw it because I was in a juvenile center and sometimes they had a plane out and I would sit there with the kids. But they would have some of these movies, these Marvel Comics and all this other stuff of portals opening up and individuals, superheroes, whatever you want to call them, coming through those portals, almost like heaven being opened. You tell me the devil didn't get inspiration from the Bible to make things and people think, get, look, it's preparing the minds and the hearts of lost individuals to get ready for some wacky, crazy things that are getting ready to happen on this earth. Watch somebody, no, don't watch them. Some of these movies are proving that. You can time travel up to something out there. Look at Superman. How did Superman lose his powers? Anybody know? No. How did he lose? What? No. Let me say this. Why did Superman give up his power? For what? What was he wanting? Lois Lane. He gave it up to be with her. What did Adam give up? To be with Eve. Where was Superman's home? Somewhere up there in a cold area. God dwells in the north. I don't know. I ain't seen the movie forever. I remember watching the first Superman movie. I think there was something there in that cave when he was in there that had stones that glowed. If I'm not mistaken. Doesn't that remind you of what the priests wore on the breastplate, Aaron, and the stones would light up and kind of give direction to Urim and Thurim? I don't know if I'm saying it right. You tell me there ain't some inspiration from somewhere on the other side influencing some of these movies that they put out today? Superman gave it all up to be with Lois Lane. All his power. He became an ordinary man to be with her. Listen. Paul or John says here in Revelation, now this is the real thing. This ain't no movie. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he did judge and make war, and his eyes were a flame of fire, and he had on his head many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself, and he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and that he should rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God. Can you imagine that day? Can you imagine that day when the heavens open and you're up there with the Lord Jesus Christ and he says, get on your horse, we're going back. You want to talk about something glorious. You want to talk about something that's going to be bright and glorious and full of majesty when Jesus Christ steps across that realm over there from heaven to this earth to rule and reign for 1,000 years. You tell me that won't be magnificent? You want to talk about the brightness of his coming. The world has never seen anything like it. Peter says, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, I believe it can talk about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Take your Bible, look over at Isaiah chapter 60, verse number 1. Isaiah 60 and verse number 1. Peter says, take heed to these things until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. What were the three previous verses talking about? I think it's verses 16, 17, 18. Before we get to verse number 19, he was talking about the Lord Jesus Christ and how he was transfigured there on the Mount of Transfiguration with Moses and Elijah. Look at Isaiah 60, verse number 1. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee until the day star. What? Arise in your hearts. The glory of the Lord is risen upon thee, for behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee, and the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. I believe this could be possibly of what picture of what Peter's talking about there in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 19, about a light rising until the day dawn and a day star arise in your hearts. You don't think your heart would skip a beat? You're sitting here and you see the Lord start coming in his glory? I think your heart would do more than skip a beat. I'd fall down as dead. If all of a sudden I'm going through the tribulation, all of a sudden the heavens are open and I see I'm going to know it's the Lord Jesus Christ. And I see 10,000s of thousands and thousands and thousands of saints sitting on white horses and they're up there in that sky. Isaiah says, He says, the Lord shall rise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee, and the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Cross-reference that. Look over at verse number, same chapter. Look at verse number 18. Isaiah 60. Look at verse 18. Violence shall no more be heard in thy land. This is talking about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ when he comes to rule and reign. Violence shall no more be heard in the land, wasting nor destruction within thy borders, but thou shalt call thy walls salvation and thy gates praise. The sun shall be no more thy light by day, neither for brightness shall the moon give light unto thee. But the Lord shall be unto thee an everlasting light, and thy God thy glory. The sun shall no more go down, neither shall thy moon withdraw itself, for the Lord shall be thine everlasting light, and the days of thy mourning shall be ended. The people also shall be righteousness. They shall inherit the land forever, the branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that they may be glorified. You go on and read through there. It's talking about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can cross-reference this over to Ezekiel chapter 43. Ezekiel 43 and verses 4 and 5 say this. Ezekiel 43, 4 and 5 say this, and the glory of the Lord came into the house by the way. Look, we're going to read the verses on it. But when the Lord comes back the second time, the heavens open, he's coming back with the white horses, coming down here to rule and reign for 1,000 years. He's going to bind Satan for that 1,000 years. He's going to cast the false prophet and the beast into the brimstone of lake and fire. I didn't say that right. He's going to toss them into that lake. When he comes down on this planet, he's going to come down on right there on the Mount of Olives, that right in line with the Eastern Gate. He's going to come down. Look what the Bible says here. Ezekiel 43, verses number 4 and 5. And the glory of the Lord came into the house by the way of the gate, whose prospect is towards the east. So the Spirit took me up and brought me into the inner court, and behold, the glory of the Lord filled the house. Now, look over to Zechariah 14. Zechariah 14, talking about the day star, rise in your hearts, take heed unto this light. Look at Zechariah 14 and verse number 1. Zechariah 14, verse 1. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of thy people shall not be cut off from the city. Look what it says in verse 3. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. Look what it says in verse 4 now. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. Exactly what Ezekiel 43, 4 and 5. Which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mountain of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove towards the north, and half of it towards the south, and ye shall flee to the valley of the mountain, for the valley of the mountain shall reach unto Azel. Yea, ye shall flee like as ye fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. And the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with thee. And it shall come to pass in that day that the light shall not be clear nor dark, but it shall be one day which shall be known to the Lord, not day nor night, but it shall come to pass that at evening time it shall be light. And it shall be in that day that living waters shall go out from Jerusalem, half of them towards the former sea, half of them towards the hinder sea. In summer and in winter shall it be. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day there shall be one Lord, and his name one. And the land shall be turned as a plain from Geba to Rimmon, south of Jerusalem. And it shall be lifted up and inhabited in her place, from Benjamin's gate unto the place of the first gate, unto the corner gate, and from the tower of Hananel unto the king's winepress. And men shall dwell in it, and there shall be no more utter destruction, but Jerusalem shall be safely inhabited. second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to come down. He's going to step foot on the Mount of Olives. And things going to create a valley. It's going to crack wide open. He's going to walk in through that eastern gate. And he's going to set up his kingdom there in Jerusalem. And he's going to rule and reign for 1,000 years. And he's going to clean house. And it's going to be a mess for a while till things get situated back to where they need to be according to Lord Jesus Christ. I ain't got time to go into it now, but they're going to be, it's going to go back to the Jews. And what they're going to do is they're going to take, and I don't have the scriptures in my mind. I can get it if you want it. I'll look it up. I think it's in Ezekiel. They're going to take flags. It might be Zechariah, one or two. They're going to take flags, and everywhere they see dead bones, they're going to put flags there. Because if you touch something dead, it defiles you. And I believe, if I'm not wrong, it's going to take them close, I could be wrong on this, close to 7 years to get things cleaned up after the tribulation. Brethren, you want to talk about some things coming. You want to talk about some wacky, wild stuff getting ready to happen. Church gets taken out of here, focuses right back on the Jews again, and the Father's going to whoop their tail. They're going to go through some horrible things. Jesus Christ is going to come back, rule and reign, and he's going to set up. Look, you're going to bring sacrifice back in again. Look at Zechariah chapter number, same chapter 14, look at verse 16. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations. Now look, this is the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. Set up his kingdom, the new temple there in Jerusalem. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the king. Who? That's Jesus. The Lord of hosts. And to keep what? The Feast of Tabernacles. Brethren, it's not the church. Church does not need to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. It's all been fulfilled in Christ Jesus. It's going back to the Jews. And if you don't keep that Feast of Tabernacles and those nations don't come up, we're going to read. Look, keep reading. Keep reading so you don't take me and say I'm saying something. Verse 17. And it shall come to, and it shall be that whoso will not come up of all the families of the earth unto where? Jerusalem, to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, even upon them shall be no rain. And if the family of Egypt go not up and come not, that have no rain, there shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite the heathen that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. This shall be the punishment of Egypt and the punishment of all nations that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. In that day shall there be upon the bells of the horses holiness on the Lord. And the pots in the Lord's house shall be like the bowls before the altar. Yea, every pot in Jerusalem and in Judea shall be holiness unto the Lord of hosts. And they shall, and look what it says. And all they that sacrifice shall come and take of them. You see that? Sacrifice. Coming back in again. Feast of Tabernacles. Coming back in again. It's going right back to what it used to be before the parathenical church age that we're now in. Focus right back to, I don't have to bring no sacrifice. Jesus Christ is my sacrifice. He paid a ransom for my sins. So what is Zechariah talking about here? This is where you can get confused. You can say the church has replaced Israel. Well, if the church has replaced Israel, then the Bible contradicts itself because it says again in Zechariah that you're going to have to bring sacrifice. Well, was not Jesus, didn't he provide a complete sacrifice? It contradicts with Hebrews. It says once for all. You have to rightly divide. Study to show thyself approved unto God, rightly dividing the word of truth. You start putting a church in what Israel's, you're going to find yourself in a mess. You're going to say, you have to say that you can lose your salvation then. Because the Bible shows it. You don't do these things, you're cast out. Look, if Egypt and the nations don't do these things, they don't keep the feast, they're going to have a plague come upon them. No rain. It's going to be a mess. That's not the church. It's back to the Jew again. Look, the church is going to be reigning as kings and priests. The church, believers, Paul says, are you so foolish that you don't realize that you're going to judge angels? Believers in the body of Christ are going to judge angels. You're going to, if you might have a throne, you might have some territory that the Lord Jesus Christ has put you over to rule and reign. You say, well, I'm a woman. There will be no more male and female in that day. So look, I'm going to close with this. Do you see why it's so important to live for the Lord Jesus Christ now? You're building something and preparing something for eternity. We're not just going to go over to the other side and sit down by a river and play harps all day. It's going to be a new heaven, new earth. Plus, you got the 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ that we're going to have. We're going to have positions and we're going to have work to do here on this planet for our King who sits there in Jerusalem. Prepare now. Don't let that day overtake you. Don't stay in darkness. Walk in the light. Stay in the light. Continue to walk with the Lord Jesus Christ that you can prove what is that good and acceptable will for your life now. Because you're preparing for something over there someday. Something. We're going to have something over there. We're going to have some type of job over there someday. I don't want to regret it. Peter says, whereunto you do well, that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day star arise, or until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Stay in the Bible. Come to church. Look, there's so much more to that, but you can't get it all in one 34, 45 minute message on a Wednesday night. There's so much there in Ezekiel, Zechariah, Isaiah that cross-references each other to where the church is going to have its own separate thing that Jesus Christ is going to have us doing. But there's going to be Jews living in an area. They're going to have to bring sacrifice. They're going to have to keep that Feast of Tabernacles. And if they don't, there's going to be consequences to it. That's not the church. I don't have to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. It's kept in Jesus Christ. He's my sacrifice. But again, you can't go over it all in one night. You can't get every cross reference in one night, or else we'd be here till tomorrow morning. And some of you got to go to work, and some of you are tired. And yeah, it'd be rough if we had to stay here all night. But amen. Let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this evening. Lord, I pray some of these things made sense. Dear God, there's just so much there in your word. Lord, we need the full counsel, both old and new, lest we get confused and put the Jew where the church is at, or the church where the Jew is at, and just get ourselves into a mess. Lord, help us to write. Lord, your word says, 2 Timothy 2:15, to study, to show ourselves approved unto you. A workman that needs not be, Lord, help us not to be ashamed. Lord, that we would rightly divide it, dear God, that we wouldn't be ashamed at your coming, dear God, and that we would be approved unto you. Help us to be students of your word. Lead, direct, guide, keep us from error. I pray you'd keep me from error, Lord. And Lord, help us to learn that we'd stay faithful and we'd stay in the light. And we pray this all now in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. So for those that are going to stay for prayer, I'd ask this evening that you to keep the Covels in prayer. I pray you'd keep Brother Les, Sister Nancy in prayer. Keep Pastor Reddy in prayer. He's got a lot going on over there with his wife and his daughter. Pray for them. Pray for lost loved ones. Pray for our country. Supreme Court. Pray for our Supreme Court. Decisions that they're making, that they'd make godly decisions. Continue to pray for Sister Kathy and Adam and her mom and the loss of her brother and what they're going through. Just continue to pray for them. Just a lot going on. Pray for Tyrone. Came out Sunday. He wants to come out again this coming Sunday. He's pretty interested. So keep him in prayer that God would continue to help him and lead and direct and guide him. Pray for Jonathan as well, that young man that came out earlier last week to talk to me. It's a lot to pray about. So if you're going to stay for prayer, just bring some of these things before the Lord, that God would just answer our prayer request and that we would just stay faithful to him. Amen. Love you. Lord willing, see you Sunday if I don't see you at the end of this evening. Amen.
Do you have an update on the mayor's granddaughter?
No, I do not. Nobody came.
Do you know her name yet?
No. Okay. They never got back with me about it. So Miss Francis let me know, and she didn't call me back. So, amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer then. Amen.